Hello and welcome to the Laid Back Japanese Podcast. In this episode, your host Chie talks about rainy days in Japan, along with the typhoon season and how to be prepared for it, whether you live here or are simply on vacation. Go check out the YouTube version of this episode for maximum rainy vibes. And if you'd like an extra challenge, don't forget to check out the Not So Laid Back Japanese Podcast, which talks about the same topic, but only in Japanese. All links in the description.
We had our first taifu the other day, and I didn't even know about it, but Caleb told me there was a taifu coming, and sure enough, when we looked outside together, it's like blowing wind everywhere, no one's on the streets, and it's raining like sideways, so yeah. Taifu ichigo, I think. You count them by numbers and their goals. And then, kind of unrelated, but also related, it was like super windy the other day and my lavender plant fell over and it broke a whole bunch of lavender off and I put it in a jar. So it's kind of nice. It smells good though. But I was really sad because like half of the plant is like just missing a chunk now because it just kind of broke off. Sad times. But taifu season's coming up. It's usually in the most strong taifus come in August and then September is they usually start turning towards Japan, so that's like the time that we most get the taifus. So you might hear people telling you that it might not be the best idea to travel to Japan in the summer months, especially in August and September. Is September a summer month? I don't actually know when summer starts. The June, July, August, I think, right? But there's like three levels of preparation for taifus in Japan that you'll just kind of see your neighbor start doing. Level one is just plain old, you know, close your window, close your doors, and just go to bed. It'll pass. And you just, maybe there's a few branches on the ground on the next day, but that's about it. I used to have a window in my bedroom growing up that was like right next to my bed. And I would have that window open in the summers so that the breeze would come in. And I would sometimes forget to close that window when it's rainy or stormy until it's a little bit too late and the surface of the floor and the walls and even the curtains sometimes is just bisho bisho or really soaking wet. And yeah, I learned my lesson and then I would forget about it and then I would do it again and then. Level two of preparation for taifu you might see is closing shutters. So if your house comes with shutters or built-in shutters or you even have like you might see people boarding up their windows. Boarding up windows isn't as common in the cities, but maybe in the inaka you might see that more often. Maybe even tarp down your kawaras if you know that your kawaras might be a little bit loose. Kawaras are the like panels that Japanese traditional home roofing is made out of. They kind of like fit into each other and they stack them and you make a roof out of them. But my Japanese house growing up had these and when there's a taifu coming there is a chance that your windows might break because of you know things coming at your windows or your windows are really weak so the wind is really strong and they break your windows. But the other concern about boarding up your windows and such, especially in the inaka, are that your neighbor's kawaras might come towards your house. One year, there was a particularly bad taifu, and one of our kawaras flew into our neighboring mansion, or like an apartment-type complex, and broke someone else's window. And so we went over there. I think it was my dad or mom. I can't remember. I think it was my dad. He went over there, apologized, I'm so sorry, and then fixed our kawara too. And then I was a child, so I don't know who paid for what, but insurance? I don't know. The nice thing about these, though, is that if one breaks, you just kind of take out the bad one and then replace it right away instead of like having to take out a whole chunk of section and then replace the whole part. Speaking of kawaras, though, kawara soba is a thing. You eat soba off of a kawara in Yamaguchi. I went with a couple of my friends in April of last year, I think, on a bus tour to Yamaguchi and one of the meals we had was kawara soba. It's really good. But your soba comes on kawara and I think they heat the kawara the soba that's touching the kawara is a little bit crunchy. It's really good. I 100% recommend going to Yamaguchi just to get the kawara soba if you want to go there just for the soba. But we also went to like a shrine place up on top of a mountain. And I think we also went across like a bridge that was super famous that's really long towards some other isolated islands. Yamaguchi. And Yamaguchi is also famous for, well, the kanjis are yama, which is mountain, and kuchi, which is mouth. So there's a lot of caves that you can go spelunking in or just casual looking as well. Casual sightseeing. Oh, another thing you might see your neighbors doing that, like, hey, I didn't watch the news and I don't know that a typhoon is coming. And then you're like, my neighbors are putting away their plants and getting their animals inside. That might be your cue that there might be a typhoon coming towards you. My mom is a plant person, and she usually has her veranda filled with plants. And every time a typhoon would come, she would like put a tarp down in the inside of the house and like, you know, can you come help me put these plants inside? And then we put them one by one inside and protect them from the wind. Unlike my lavender that just fell over with just normal storm wind. Sad. Yeah. And the final level, level three, this is just my scale, just by the way, it's not an official scale, is we would unplug things from the walls. Make sure you have like a couple days worth of food, maybe. Your lights might go out and your refrigerator might not work for one or two days, depending on where you are. I guess looking back now, talking about these, I think I did live in Inaka. I didn't really think about it when I was growing up that I did live out in the Inaka, but I think I did. Sleeping away from windows, we would bring our futons or something if we had some, and we had a huge room that we could fit four people's beds in, and we would sleep there if it was an overnight taihu thing. School is canceled because it's windy and dangerous to go outside. Like, you would, I think on news and stuff, you would see people trying to have an umbrella open, and you just can't hold the umbrella in the wind because it's so strong. And yeah, the news will tell you that going outside is a bad idea and you should stay inside. My sister and I used to go outside right at the tail end of a taihu, and we would like lean against the wind because it's so strong that it could support your weight. So we would be like 45 degrees just leaning on the wind. Great times. I don't recommend because it's dangerous, but it was kind of out in the middle of nowhere. No trees around. There was just tumbles. And so we would just go outside and do that. Except kawaras, I guess. That was dangerous. Those could have hit us. But one thing about the unplugging thing is that I used to have a zarigani. One summer I went to an art camp thing, like a day camp, day class thing. And they had live zariganis to draw. And at the end, they're like, well, we don't need these anymore. Does anyone want to take them home? And I volunteered. His name was Sebastian, but I had a sisal, a water tank, and Sebastian lived in it. And it had a pump, water pump in the suiso, so I had to unplug that, and I also brought him with me downstairs where we slept with our hodons. That was a good time. I fed him like little triangle foods. I think they sell zarigani food, but they'll like have like little arms by their mouth, and they would like hold it there and they would eat it and like rotate it, and it gets kind of squishy as you go because it's kind of in the water. Yeah, I hope he had a good life. When taihus come, though, are the rare occasions that shinkansens might actually stop or teishi for a little while because of the danger that it presents to the railways. If something falls on the tracks or something, they'll have to, you know, make sure that it's all clear and safe for you to ride the shinkansen. So if you are traveling in the summer months and there is a taihu coming, your shinkansen traveling or even airplanes might be changed a little bit, so just be prepared that your schedules might change a little bit. But you know, rain is sometimes really nice. And I like rain. I usually just have an umbrella, go outside, enjoy the rain, or even like go running sometimes in the rain because it just feels nice. But if you are planning on coming to Japan during the rainy season, in the rainy months, I have some suggestions that you might want to think about before coming over and bring with you if you do already have them, or make it part of the experience of like going and acquiring these items. First off, finding yourself a good rain goods store in Japan is just kind of really fun because I don't know, they're just cute things being sold. But if it did start raining before you got to a rainy goods store, you can just run into a konbini and they will sell a binir gasa, or like one of those plastic generic looking umbrellas that you can just purchase and they're cheap. And it's kind of like a not one time use, but you don't really care about that umbrella. And so if you lose it or forget it somewhere, you're not really attached to that binir gasa. One time though, I did buy a mizutama moyo no umbrella at a konbini. I think that was my favorite umbrella so far, actually. Aside from the new one that I bought, which I think I will talk about in a little bit. But one caution about these binir gasas, if you do get one, is that if you frequently go to places that you leave your gasas outside, because there's usually a kasatate section outside the store. By the way, kasa is umbrella, and kasatate is a umbrella stand. If you do leave your binir gasas in these kasatates outside konbinis or stores that you might go to, you might end up switching your binir gasas with other people that might also have one that's just like slightly different than yours. And the worst trades that you might get are like the ones that are like rusted because no one takes care of these binir gasas and they just close them and kind of forget about them until the next time it rains, and then the water was in there, so it's all rusty and you can see it because it's a binir gasa and it's see-through. Yeah, not a good time. But it's not too bad when you get an upgrade where sometimes like a binir gasa is like slightly better than the last one. But yeah, you kind of go trading. But the worst of the worst, I guess, with the binir gasa's caution is that someone might have forgotten that they didn't bring an umbrella, and then they might take yours. And then you're left with zero umbrellas. Or maybe you're the type of person that, you know, doesn't want to take someone else's umbrella because someone took yours. So just a word of advice if you are going to get a binir gasa. All right, so binir gasas aside, you're at a rainy goods store. I don't actually know what they're called. Maybe there's an actual name for them, but rainy goods store in Japan. Even just browsing through these is kind of fun, so I would recommend going there anyway. One thing that I have come to love is rain shoes. Amagutsu or nagagutsu. Nagagutsu are long shoes, but they're rain boots that are like the taller ones that you might see that kind of come up to kind of your calf area. Amagutsus are just rain boots that could look like normal shoes. They're just water repellent. I guess nagagutsu is a type of amagutsu. You could say that. A little towel will go a long way when it's rainy outside, especially if for some reason you're traveling out and you go to shrine and maybe you have to take off your shoes, or maybe your friends decide that you want to go to a izakaya at the end of your day, and some izakayas you have to take off your shoes. So at that point you could maybe take out your handy dandy hankachi that you bought and wipe your feet. Or you could even have an extra pair of socks because your toes get cold like me. Extra sock is, I don't really travel with extra socks usually, but when I was going to school in Japan when I was little, I did used to take extra socks and extra, not extra towel, but a towel for when I got to school, and I could switch into my uagutsu, which are indoor shoes, and I would slip on my dry socks and go about my day. And then the umbrella. There are different lengths of umbrellas you can get. So like if you have like a wider, broader shoulder or something, or if you have a huge backpack, you might want to get a bigger one. If it is during the taifu season, I don't necessarily recommend a oritatami gasa because they're really weak in super strong winds. They might like fold backwards or like kind of not. I mean, they're kind of tiny, so like maybe your face is going to be dry, but you won't be able to shield yourself very well from the wind and the rain with just onori tatami kasa. So yeah, look for a properly sized umbrella. They have different lengths, so just make sure that you read what centimeters they are. Some places you can actually open them up, which is nice, and kind of see if it covers your backpack or your shoulders or whatever. You could also get a poncho or a kappa. Kappa って入れたらカッパが出てくるよね。 Okay. If I put kappa in, it's the river god that drowns children. I don't actually know if they're a god. Anyway, that's a story for a whole nother episode. 雨とか入れてるのは雨。雨グッズ。ポンチョ or カッパ。If you're looking for these and you don't know where they are and you ask a 店員さん or the clerk at the store, you can either say カッパ or ポンチョ and they will know what you mean. They have come a long way. Like, you will see people on the bicycle with these, and they'll also have certain types of kappas that like go over the backpack that you might be carrying to your work or something if you're biking to work. They also sell like shoe covers that they wrap around your shoes so that your shoes don't get wet or dirty. It's crazy. Raincoat. That works too. Yeah, poncho is kind of like a top, just kind of for the top, it looks like. And then raincoat. That's cool. I guess you can have your phone out when it's raining while sitting on the bench. I recommend these if you're just walking around outside in the rain and you don't really want to worry about your umbrella or your hands got tired because, you know, it's windy and your hand. It's really hard to keep an umbrella up, like upright, when it's super windy outside. Your hands get tired. If you are planning on staying indoors a lot during the rainy times, though, I would just recommend getting an umbrella because you will go places and they will have umbrella bags that you can just like insert your umbrella into, and you don't have to get the whole store wet or leave a trail behind you. Have you seen those? Do they exist in other places? I'm sure they exist in other places. But if you don't know what they are and you encounter a rainy day with an umbrella and you don't know what to do with yourself because you're staring at the umbrella bag station at the gankan or the entrance of the store, this is how you use them. Make sure you shake off your umbrella first. That's step one. After that, you can kind of swirl your umbrella so that the flaps are kind of organized. And then you can just kind of either actually do the clip or just kind of roll it up. And then take one bag from the station. It's like a really thin plastic. And then you kind of just swirl it and insert it. And it works best if your fingers are a little bit wet. And then you can like open the mouth of the plastic. And then you can just kind of swirl it as you put the bag on. And then it'll go in there nicely. And then you can walk around the store without dripping water everywhere. I did see like an upgraded version of this the other day where you can like run your umbrella through like a drying thing. You know, the car wash, like towards the end, it'll kind of wipe the water off with like rubber material. It was kind of like that, but for umbrellas, and you kind of swirl your umbrella as you go through it. It's kind of cool. I wanted to try it, but I didn't have like one of those long umbrellas, so I didn't use it. Okay, so you're in Japan and you look at the Tenki Yoho, which is the weather forecast, and it's saying that 明日の天気は 100% 雨です. Or tomorrow's weather is going to be 100% rain. It's fine. You have a rain day plan. So it will be a great day anyway. Okay, so there's kind of like two categories where if you like the rain or you don't mind the rain, then there are plenty of things to do still. Just maybe don't go hiking or like go to the mountains on the cliffside. That's kind of dangerous, but that category. And then there's also, you know, the indoor stuff that you don't have to hold your umbrella or your poncho soaking wet outside. So this is kind of the two categories that I'll kind of talk about here. Before I mentioned that you can go outside and like all do all these things outside, that just if the weather forecast is telling you that you shouldn't go outside or go near bodies of water, don't. It is dangerous. The water levels could just rise really fast as well. So just be careful, be cautious. Don't do that. But if it is raining, you like outside. I've done all of these things, but even just the other day, it was raining and my friend and I were planning on hanging out for like a month in advance. And so we still did the thing that we were going to do anyway, which is go to a cafe. We ate delicious lunch at like this cute cafe in the back corner. We had to like go around a couple times and find it because it was in an alleyway that was like a little maze that you had to actually find the right entrance. And then after we had lunch, we walked around Ouricoen, which I actually appreciate going outside when it's raining because there's less people, there's less bugs, which is 100% a plus because mosquitoes just is insane, especially if you're near a lake. And then there's a couple of spots that you can go for amayadoris as well, where amayadoris like sheltering off from rain. But it's just kind of fun to sit there, listen to the rain hitting the leaves around you. There were even some pigeons that were sheltering alongside with us, and they were making, you know, like subdued pigeon sounds, and it was really cute. But yeah, we walked like 10,000 steps in the rain. It was crazy. If you are a person that likes taking pictures as well, rain is kind of fun too, because you'll get those raindrops on leaves or something if you're taking zoomed in pictures, or like it creates this atmosphere effect as well. So it's just kind of more moody. I don't know, when you're taking pictures, it's nice. I like taking pictures in the rain. And if you're a type of person that doesn't like being in the rain or being outside when it's super humid, there are plenty of other options that you can explore. Number one on my list of like indoor activities is just going underground places. Just hands down the best. I don't know, just kind of fun to go underground. Here in Fukuoka, there's like an underground tunnel shopping mall system thing that's in Tenjin. It's like a 10-minute walk just to go down one side. And there's like hundreds of stores. And you can have food. You can have lunch down there. You can shop. It's also like connected to the Eki, the station. You can also go above ground and find some shotengais that are like streets that are covered. That also has a whole bunch of stores on both sides of the streets. And it goes on forever, it feels like sometimes. But these are usually located in downtown of wherever you are. They'll have a whole spectrum of stores on that one street. There'll be gift shops. There'll be 100yen shoppus. You can have food there. Look out for taiyaki stalls because taiyakis are really good. I just like walking down them, and like the huinki or the atmosphere of a shotengai is just really nice. There's probably also a rainy goods store in a shotengai, so look out for those as well. So in that area too, there's like karaoke that you could go to. There's always bowling. If you're in that mall area, you'll kind of find all of these things right next to each other, so you don't have to go very far to find them. Movies, always a good option. Game centers are also really fun, especially the ones that are like 6 stories tall that you can just, you know, start at the first floor and just make your way up, just looking at all the cool gadgets that you can get from playing the games. In these sections, you'll also find like pop-up stores that are also fun. They might be like seasonal gifts or food that you could experience. At the Hakataeki, there was like a umeshu festival that was going on that you would like buy like tokens up front, and then you can, I think you bought like 5 or 10 or whatever, and you can go around the booths like trading in your token for like a taste testing of umeshu in like a little cup. Yeah, you just never know what you're gonna find. Art museums, there are plenty of those to go around. Those are also really nice too when it's rainy, because one, less people, but also less people, and it's quiet. So if you like quiet places, definitely recommend. Go to the nearby cat cafe. I still want to go to one. I've never been to one. You can even look up game board cafes. Those are fun. Usually you go in, either like pay for one one-time fee up front, or it's like a sometimes a drink plus that. So it kind of depends on where you go, but you walk in, you do the okaike first usually, and then you sit down and look at all of the game board options, and then you pick one. And then you can, usually if it's like a weekday, you can stay as long as you want. If it's on weekends, you might have to like pay extra by the hour. Aquariums are kind of the best. Even if it's sunny out, I would go to an aquarium. And then also, there's like hidden concert halls and like smaller malls with like smaller movie theaters that are playing really niche movies as well. Those are also fun to go to. And then you might end your rainy day in a onsen with a rotenburo, or like a hot spring with an outside portion that exists. Sometimes they'll be covered and sometimes they're not, but I don't know, just onsen in the rain is just very relaxing.